Tonight is a challenge and a warning too. I've got the give that to Jason. That's a little booklet, devotional thing that we get from a mate in America, in Florida. I met him years ago when I was getting kicked out of the AOG. I met him, and he's been a helper to our church. He actually, him and David Cloud, both, I met them when I was getting kicked out of the AOG church, and I put a website up and got stuck into all this Toronto blessing and stuff, and they were researching it, and I was right in amongst it, so I was like a good spy in the camp for them, you know. But he became a good friend, and he sent me a lot of stuff. In that time, I was still not convinced on the Bible translation issue. Well, I wasn't interested in it. I reckon just get the Bible you like the best and use that, you see. And he challenged me, because when I was debating with the Pentecostals about this false revival, I'd use the Bible that had the verse in that would win my argument. And I had a lot of Bibles. I'd check one that had a verse that said exactly what I wanted to win the argument. And Jeff Royal, our mate in Florida, he got on to me about that. And he said, oh, Huey, you're going the right way, but you need to look into this Bible translation issue thing. He said, you need to look into this. What do you think about the King James issue? Well, you know, I think it might be the right one, but I'm not sure. So he sent me stuff to train me up on it. And I got to study that. Colin and I studied that, and we came convinced the King James Bible is the Bible. It's the Bible. And we got convinced of a lot of other things when we came out of the AOG too, out of the Pentecostal stuff. But anyhow, I came out of the AOG and the Pentecostal stuff, but today, there's a great apostasy on. And this apostasy is getting into all fundamentalist churches, independent Baptist churches. Pentecostalism is the go, you see. I came out of it, and we got a lot of churches going into it. And I can see when somebody's going into it, because I've had to, you know, I've been in there and know what it is that they're getting into. We see somebody getting dabbling with stuff, they're going to get caught with this Pentecostal beliefs and practices. But anyhow, tonight is an example. I've got my little message tonight is called Doctrinally Pure in a Culturally Relevant Church? Doctrinally Pure in a Culturally Relevant Church. Have you heard that term? Being culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. And I've got a question mark there, you see. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Colossians 2, and we're going to read verse 8. We're not going to have too many scriptures to turn to, because we don't want to be here all night. But Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul warns us, he warned the Colossian church, and now he's warning us. Verse 8 says, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Amen? See that? Beware. Hey, when the Bible says beware, you know what we should do?
Beware.
Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Any church's statement of position, I'm going to be talking about someone, I won't name him, you'll all know who I'm talking about though. In his church statement of position, a form that he put out called Statement of Position, under the heading of Separation, an independent Baptist pastor, big name fella, and very powerful up in PNG too, this fella. This independent Baptist pastor recently made the following claim about his church. This is what he said in his statement of position. Our church does not seek the approval of the current culture. Wow, sounds good. Our church does not seek the approval of the current culture, nor is it our function to make the gospel more acceptable. Our responsibility is simply to make the gospel available to the people today. As a church, that all sounds very good. Then he says, as a church, we seek to be culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. We seek to be culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. We distinguish what is cultural and what is timeless. That's his statement of position. Now, this statement, while sounding spiritually upright to the undiscerning, is nothing more than new evangelical intellectual compromise, which relates more to 2 Timothy 2:3 and scratching itching ears of people who will not endure sound doctrine than it does to a fundamentalist claim that they are simply making the gospel available to people. Not surprisingly, when I did a Google search for the exact term culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure, this is about 2 years ago I did this, I did a search on the internet for the term culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. I put it in, word for word, verbatim. What appeared at the top of the resulting list was an apostate Southern Baptist church which included a rock band for worshipping God. More revealingly, though, the second hit on the list was the website of Bill Hybels and his Willow Creek Community Church. You know about Bill Hybels? You know Bill Hybels? He's the bloke that just put a lady in charge of Willow Creek. Willow Creek is one of the original mega churches, seeker-sensitive church. Him and Rick Warren are the two blokes, the main blokes, that are into all this seeker-sensitive stuff. Give the people what they want and they'll come to church. But anyhow, his name was the second one. And he just put a lady in charge of the ministry of his church, a lady pastor. She's just resigned. And a young man, a lady and a man, he put them in store because he's getting out of the ministry. You see, he's going to retire. But he's got stuck, this bloke. They nailed him for sexual indiscretions for years and years and years with the ladies in the church. See, these blokes, they're so full of their own ego. They love themselves so much, you see. They think all the ladies love them too. That's the problem. I'm telling you, people with big egos, watch out. Watch out. If they haven't got their ego in check, look out for them. He's getting investigated at the moment. His whole church has just fallen to bits. This big, thousands of people, 30,000 people, members or something like that. And the lady that he put as the pastor resigned over this stuff. Toxic manhood stuff that's going on too. They're into him. But anyhow, they've both resigned and that church is currently in a big mess. But it's one of the major churches in the world. But his church came up next. He writes a lot of books and all this sort of stuff, you know. Seeker sensitive. You give us a swimming pool at your church or and a restaurant and we'll come. And a gym. Good if you had a gym, right? And play skits. Don't read us from the Bible. And we want carpet on the floor and beautiful seats to sit on and all that sort of stuff. Seeker sensitive. I'm not joking. That's what they did. But anyhow, his church is now in a big mess. But his church website was the second one that came up in the list when I put that term in about being doctrinally pure while remaining culturally relevant. Being culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. Anyhow, Bill Hybels and his Willow Creek Community Church, it states on its What Willow Believes page, there's a page called What Willow Believes, we believe the church should be culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. Same as what this other bloke did. All right? This independent Baptist, big name pastor in Australia here. All right? He had exactly the same as Bill Hybels. He says this includes the concept of sensitively relating to our culture. Sensitively. And then he quotes 1 Corinthians 9:19 to 23. Now that's a very popular scripture if you want to endorse what you're doing, you know, and get everybody to agree with you. Page after page of following search results reveal that the churches and ministries which hold to the doctrine of being culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure are all contaminated with error to one degree or another. I went through page after page of research results, usually indicating these results, they're contaminated with error, usually indicated by the promotion of worldly rock music as worship or associating with known false teachers and apostates. Many of them also quoted 1 Corinthians 9:19 to 23, to justify their faulty doctrinal position, the same as our independent Baptist pastor did. To me, it's pretty revealing that an independent Baptist pastor who professes himself and his church to be fundamental would agree with all these apostate people and apostate liberal ministries in their claim of being doctrinally or being culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure. Didn't find any other independent Baptist pastors in there, just all these apostate churches who he agreed with and they agreed with him. On page 37 of his book, Nurturing the Leader Within Your Child, that's the title of the book, in chapter entitled Becoming Relevant in Your Kid's World, the writer, Tim Elmore, you won't know him, but I researched him, Tim Elmore makes the very same word-for-word claim that the independent Baptist pastor has made. Elmore says, we distinguish what is cultural and what is timeless. Exactly the same words. And he's in America. This pastor's over here. We distinguish what is cultural and what is timeless. Also on page 36, in the context of his goal of being a culturally relevant pastor, Elmore defines the word relevance as using what is cultural to say what is timeless. That's what he reckons relevance is. Using what is cultural to say what is timeless. Disturbingly, Tim Elmore is a ministerial colleague and disciple of the scripturally unsound and compromising new evangelical author, John C. Maxwell. If you've got a John C. Maxwell book in your library and you're not using just for research, toss it in the bin. Amen? Get rid of it. John C. Maxwell is an apostate too. And a number of his books are advertised on the Independent Baptist Pastor's website. This bloke that we were researching, right, in Australia here. A number of his books, not surprisingly, are in his library that they're sold to the unsuspecting church members and the visitors who frequent his church bookstore. This philosophy of cultural relevance originated with New Evangelicalism, a movement which appeared upon the evangelical scene in 1948. Hey, the fig tree generation. New Evangelicalism came in 1948, the same year Israel was reborn. Right? Whole heap of things happened in 1948. I've got a series of messages, seven messages, showing you all these things that happened in 1948 when Israel became a nation. Whole heap of things, the devil got busy, right? God got busy, he brought the Jews home, but the devil got busy too. And one thing he got busy doing was bringing in the new evangelical movement. This philosophy of cultural relevance started with the new evangelical movement, which started in 1948. New evangelicalism rejected separation and instead promoted dialogue with heretics and contemporary culture, and emphasised the restatement of Christian theology in accordance with the need of the times. This worldly philosophy and vain deceit is still infiltrating professed fundamental churches in our day with destructive consequences. The independent Baptist pastor, the bloke we're talking about, the independent Baptist pastor's pursuit of being culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure is identical to New Evangelicalism's promotion of the restatement of Christian theology in accordance with the need of the times. Exactly the same thing. Same philosophy, just different words. And it's the same philosophy that is now being promoted by many prominent independent Baptist pastors and teachers throughout the world as the great apostasy of 2 Thessalonians 2:3 gains momentum. The dust is kicking up, my friends. Big time. Have you noticed it? Have a look around behind you, you'll see it. In his church statement of position, the independent Baptist pastor makes a partly true, though subtly deceptive claim. This will be interesting for you missionary people. He makes a deceptive claim, partly true but subtly deceptive, that missionaries like Hudson Taylor made themselves relevant to the contemporary heathen societies they evangelised, that's what he said, by adopting their dress standards in order to reach them with the gospel. That's what he said in his statement of position, right? Baptist pastors like Hudson Taylor made themselves relevant to the contemporary heathen societies they were evangelising by adopting their dress standards in order to reach them with the gospel. In the same manner as Hybels, Elmore and Maxwell, this pastor quotes Paul's words of 1 Corinthians 9:22 in order to lend credibility to and acceptance of what he's promoting cultural relevance to mean. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, the Apostle Paul did say, I am made all things to all men. This is the scripture they use. It's the one they used at the AOG when I was battling with the stuff in there. I am made all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. But Paul also asked a very relevant question in Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we shall not. He didn't provide the answer. But you know what the answer is. No, we will not continue in sin. Would Paul have violated the obvious answer to this question? Would he have made himself culturally relevant by dressing in a style that he knew would be an offence to God in order to save some? Along with Paul, I will loudly answer, God forbid. Although Hudson Taylor may have adopted Chinese dress style, he may have done that, and I think he would have. No good getting around in a suit and tie in China, all right? Although Hudson Taylor may have adopted a Chinese dress style to fit in with the Chinese culture, he would not have worn immodest, sexually suggestive Chinese dress to become all things to all men, as many pragmatic, independent Baptist pastors are promoting in our day. He wouldn't have done that. I hope you don't get around up there naked, like the people in New Guinea do. No, you don't, you see. But he's saying Hudson Taylor did that. No, Hudson Taylor, you're not saying Hudson Taylor did that. He's not saying that. But if people don't think about it, think, oh, we can just get dressed like the Chinese did or the Papua New Guineans do. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be bringing truth to them and light. Not compounding them in their darkness. Anyhow, the independent Baptist pastor claims in his statement of position that it is the Holy Spirit who has led him to adjust his church's methodology and techniques in order to be culturally relevant and effective in reaching his city and in growing disciples. But this is not fundamental independent Baptist thinking, my friends. It's new evangelical. And neither is it biblically sound. It is unscriptural compromise. And we know that that bloke, although he said that he would not use culture to reach the people, remember, he had a football, Australian famous football player, as a Sunday service, sitting with him on the stage, asking him questions about football, and gave everyone in the service a little football as a memento of this great hero of the faith, who was a member of Hillsong. Unreal, eh? But anyhow. In 1 John 2:15, we are warned, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Seeking to be culturally relevant while remaining doctrinally pure, as the independent Baptist pastor claims himself and his church to be, is not possible. It's not possible. Not without blatantly disregarding the plain teachings of Scripture, it isn't. And this is he has done on many areas of his ministry. Many, many areas of his ministry. He has compromised and become worldly. Where did he go? With a bloke from America, one of his pastor mates. They went to Hillsong. Hillsong annual meeting. Got photos of them together with Brian Houston. They're supposed to be independent Baptist pastors. So they compromised themselves and they compromised their people. And now they sing all the Hillsong music in their church and they got a rock band. For the sake of having a big crowd in his church, he has ignored the warning of Colossians 2:8, our opening scripture. And instead he has been spoiled through worldly philosophy and vain deceit, being led astray by the cultural traditions of men who promote the rudiments and the fundamental principles of the world and not the Christ of the Bible. At the beginning of the church age, Jesus warned his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he warns us at Coastline Baptist Church today, at the closing of the church age, with the same message. Take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting that we've been able to have tonight, Lord. Thank you for...